I'm really trusting for God to come, and not only will we hear the word, but the word be demonstrated tonight. Amen. Jesus will meet us where we're at. Wherever you're at, he'll meet you. If you allow him to, he will meet you. When you walk the earth, some said, I need you to touch me. Some said, I just need you to speak the word. Some said, I need you to lay hands on me. And he met them where they were at. He never said to one, well, this one said, I just have to speak the word. Why do I have to touch you? He didn't do that. He just met people where they're at because of his love for us. Amen. And so before we get there, I just want to bring the second part of this tremendous truth. Many things in the Bible come with two truths. Like two truths. It's like a twin truth. They come together and we miss it often. Like Isaiah 53, the Bible says, he bore our sin, and the same word, he bore our sickness. It's exactly the same word. He bore our sin, and he bore our sickness. So in the New Testament, wherever you see Jesus speak about, and wherever the scripture speaks about salvation, it speaks about healing. They're twins. They go together. And I know you know that. You with me? The same as wherever you see Jesus going into a town or a place, and it said many were healed, you'll see many were delivered. Those are twins as well. Deliverance and healing go together. In other words, set free from demonic oppression. They are never separated. They're twin truths. And this is another twin truth, that we're in Christ, but Christ is in us. In John chapter 1, when John the Baptist came on the scene, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's a truth, that we are in Christ. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when we believe in him, that's a truth. We are in him. But he didn't finish there. A couple of lines later, he said, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. We missed that part out. Isn't that interesting? In Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus walked on the scene and said, who do people say I am? And they said, some say you this, some say you that. And he said to the disciples, well, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And Jesus said, Peter, there is no way you knew that by yourself. That's a revelation from my Father in heaven. My Father in heaven has revealed that to you. But he doesn't stop there. So that's us being in Christ. He says, and I tell you, on this rock, on that revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He still doesn't stop there. He said, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he says, yes, I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. That I'll be in you. And when you'll be in me. And when I'm in you, you will advance the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Literally that means whatever God has bound through his death and resurrection concerning the kingdom of darkness, concerning the dominion of darkness. That word bound is the same word used in 1 John 3:8 where Jesus, for this purpose Christ was revealed to destroy, means to loose people from the dominion of darkness, to loose people from the destructive patterns of sin, to loose people from the oppression of darkness, to loose people from pain and insecurity and fear, to loose them, because that's the work of the devil. And he said, because of that, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth, in other words, wherever you come across somebody that is bound by someone, bound by something of the kingdom of darkness, I've already bound that in the heavenly realm, in the second heavenly realm. There's three heavens. The Bible said Paul was taken to the third heaven. The third heaven is where God resides and the angel resides, where Christ is seated and we are seated with him in heavenly places. The third heaven. The second heaven is just above the atmosphere of this earth, where the dominion of darkness rules and reigns. And the first heaven is where you and I live here on earth. So whatever you loose in heaven, okay, that third heaven, I will loose here on earth. Whatever you bind in the second heaven, I'll bind here on earth because I've already done it. You can't do it unless Christ has done it. It's already been done. You with me? So on the revelation of I'm the Messiah, the Son of God, and I will be, and you'll be in me. Now on that revelation, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. So go ahead. and release people from powers of darkness and works of darkness. See, it's a twin truth right through the Bible. Amen. Paul in Acts chapter 19 came to the church of Ephesus and he asked the people, when you believed, what baptism did you get? And they said, John's baptism, baptism of repentance. All right, so you were born again. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? They said, we don't even know about the Holy Spirit. So he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The twin truth that they were missing. They received the empowering of the Spirit. Years later, when Paul wrote to that same church, he wrote this in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Hello? You see, because the second truth of us being empowered with the anointing or being baptized with the Holy Spirit, that's Christ in me, we leak. Not just salvation. That's done. But the empowering part, we leak from all the pressures that come at us through the day and through life. And so we leak, and so we need to be refilled continually. Hello, are you with me? It's very key, people. It's very key. That's why in Acts chapter 2, they were empowered on high from the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, the Bible says, suddenly, a sound came from heaven. Suddenly, it broke in on them. Those same disciples in Acts chapter 4, after they'd been released from prison, came out and said, Lord, give us boldness to preach your word. What did they happen again? Power came from on high again on the same people. This time the building shook. Hello? You with me? Very important to understand that. It's not about your salvation. That is secure. That is done. That's why I spent the first part of the morning, Michelle and I, sowing that into us. This is about your God-given ability in Christ to extend the kingdom of God on this earth. Into your families, into your community, into your workplace, as He directs and as He enables. So you become supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. Very naturally, very naturally. As Michelle said this morning, we are very fortunate that all our family got saved. But it didn't start that. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Her brother is a very, very intelligent man. Very intelligent man. Some of you know her brother, Craig Elliott. Very, very clever man. And when I got saved, we would make big friends. We were drinking buddies. And then I got saved. He saw the dramatic change in me. I never preached to him. Never. I just prayed for him and prayed for him. And one day he came down to Cape Town where we were staying. And he started to ask me questions. When anybody asks you questions about Jesus, the door is opening. Because they wouldn't do that in the natural. That means God's drawing them. Shoot them with both barrels. With whatever's in you. You with me? Just share the reality of you. What's in you. And what I told him about was deliverance. Because that was real to me at that stage. About demons. Can you believe it? I told him, that's what I told him about. And we spent the whole night till 3 o'clock talking. And he asked me question after question. And he said to me, Ken, so you're telling me I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to surrender my wife. I'm going to surrender my kids. I'm going to surrender my finance. I'm going to surrender my home. I'm going to surrender my business. I'm going to surrender everything I have. I said, Craig, you got it. And I said, listen, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. And I went to bed. When I woke up in the morning, he presented me with, because he's a lawyer, he presented me like a contract he had written. He had signed a contract, he had written out, surrendering everything to the Lord. He got born again. God does it. Sorry? And he leads the church today. He's a great teacher of the word. You with me? You see, God's got to draw people. But if we avail ourselves, it'll never be about your ability, people. It'll be about your availability. Never about your ability. Your availability. I was talking to, where's this man? God, turn it tonight. Ken, where are you, Ken? Where are, there you are. Great name, Ken. Okay. I was talking to Ken and just how God has lit something in him and saying, God, I'll make myself available to you. I'll make myself available to you. I'll make myself available to you. Amen. I'll go to the neighbor if you want me to. And sometimes just the natural things, people, it's just bake a cake and give it to your neighbor. But if God's spoken, it's a supernatural cake. You understand what I'm saying? When they eat it, you have no clue what's going to happen. Because there's a something of God on that action. That's all I'm trying to say. But for us to be effective in that, we need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Being a spiritful Christian is not a type of Christian. It's a state of a Christian. It's a state of a Christian. Amen. So it's not just about going to heaven. It's about an appetite for the impossible. It's about the coming of the kingdom of God on the whole person. Christ has put his resurrected life in you. God has put the resurrected Christ in you by the Holy Spirit. He's inside your being. And we don't want the Holy Spirit to be imprisoned inside us. And the Holy Spirit is imprisoned inside many unbelieving Christians. We imprison him. Because of unbelief, not so much by our actions. Because we don't really believe God can use me. We don't really believe it. Folk, when you look at the book of Acts, when you read the book of Acts, you think these events happened every single day. No, there were periods where nothing seemingly happened. They just went about their day. But they were open to God. From Acts 1 to Acts 10 is 10 years. 10 years. Took Peter 10 years to go to the Gentiles. And God already told him. Can you believe it? 10 years. Where Peter receives, you know, that vision of the cloud coming. You know what I'm talking about? And eat. And he says, no, God. 10 years. This mighty apostle Peter. 10 years. Before he actually went. Because God is patient with us. But he just wants our availability. And he wants us filled and ready. He wants us in the right state, if you can put it that way. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a type of a believer, it's a state. The Holy Spirit wants to be released to change and transform people. Many living with an Old Testament mindset. In the Old Testament, if a leper touched you, you got leprosy. So we say, well, we don't want the world to touch me because the world will affect me. No, a New Testament mindset is when the leper touched Jesus, they were healed. Yeah. Hallelujah. You with me? That's the New Testament mindset. So when you touch the world, you change the world, not the world changing you. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of the kingdom of darkness. Don't be afraid. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the Spirit of the living God, the resurrected Christ living inside you. Living inside you. That's what you do. You have him living inside you. We're stewards of a heavenly realm. God designed us to be a vessel by which he can flow through to confront the pain and the impossibilities people live with and are facing every day. And he's released us to do that. Learning how to be co-laborers with God is a process, learning. I'm powerless by myself, but I'm not by myself. Need to learn to be a yielded vessel to release the power of his glory. So people's lives can get touched. Amen. Yeah. We really do need that. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible says this, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Notice the tense of the words. Began. In other words, it started, but it's not ended yet. Because you're going to continue with it now, the book of Acts and the church. And it's never teaching, it's teaching and doing, or doing and teaching. Those two come together. There has to be something of the working of the Holy Spirit in and through people. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little bit about how do you, once you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you keep, that's why that song was so important tonight, and I loved what Mark did. Guys, Lord, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. You know, it's not about me going to heaven. Thank you, I am. But just fill me afresh so I can be a vessel to the extension of your kingdom. However you choose to do that. however you choose to do that. But I need your power. I need your enabling. Christianity has to have, I think it was Greg Haswell that said this, he got sick and tired of a powerless gospel. Amen. A number of years ago, I went to a cricket match, many years ago, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll sit wherever, I tried to get people to go with me, and nobody could go with me. I said, Lord, I'll sit wherever you want me to sit, but I want to go and enjoy the cricket. It was a one-day match, can't remember who was playing. So I walked in the ground, I said, Lord, just show me where you want to sit. So I walked, and eventually I found these wonderful seats under the grandstand and whatever, and I sat down, and I thought, geez, why is nobody sitting here? These are wonderful seats. And I sat down there, and the game was going on, I was watching the game. Eventually a guy came and sat next to me, and we obviously started to chat, you know, and looking at the cricket, and he said, oh, by the way, you're sitting in my wife's seat. I said, oh, I'm sorry. These are season ticket holders. That's where I was sitting. I didn't know it. So he said, well, I said, well, can I pay you for it? And he said, no, you don't have to pay me for it. But what you can do is you can go buy me a drink at the break. You know, they have a half an hour break. So I said, okay. And I haven't been in a pub for years. I hadn't been in a... So I thought, geez, this is going to be a little different, me going in there. So anyway, I went in there and I ordered what he wanted and I came out and I gave it to him. And he said, what about you? And I said, well, actually, I don't drink. So he said, I notice you don't drink and you don't swear and you don't smoke. What do you do for fun? So, that's what he said to me. So he said, actually, what do you do? So I just started to share my testimony. And as I was sharing my testimony just about the goodness of God, they were doing the Mexican wave and all these beer cans were going up and coming down and I was talking to him and they were falling around about us. But he was so riveted in what I was saying and I could see the tears beginning to run down his face over here. And he said, please pray for me. I need help. My marriage is in a bad way. There amongst all that was doing, God was just gently touching this man. Amen. Just be available. That's all I was. Nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. So I want to talk a little bit about these handles. Let me go there first, then I'll talk about laying on hands. So we need two what I call handles. We need to remain full of the Holy Spirit, and then we need to find the leading of the Holy Spirit if we're going to be effective. We need to remain full of the Holy Spirit, and we need to find the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about remaining full of the Holy Spirit. To remain full of the Holy Spirit, we need to walk in forgiveness. You have to learn to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the biggest stumbling blocks that Christians walk around with. It's like a beaver that blocks up the water. That's what it does. It blocks up the water in you. It doesn't stop you going to heaven, but it blocks the flow of the life of God in you. You with me? I encourage you, learn to forgive. Not learn, forgive. Just look, you have to forgive, folk. I don't know how else to say it to you. If you're struggling with it, get somebody to walk you through it. Walk in forgiveness. Number two, walk in humility. And the best way I know how to walk in humility is cultivate worship, cultivate honor in your life, in other words, honoring one another, cultivate gratitude. Be thankful. Walk with gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Yeah. Walk in a lifestyle of worship. We often just put worship in a house as we're going about our day. And what I find then, I'm just walking or answering the phone, and all of a sudden I find myself, I'm singing along with the song. And it's having impact. You with me? You cultivate that lifestyle. And cultivate a culture of honor. Honor people. Honor one another. Honor God. I'm encouraging you. It's the one promise given to kids. Honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. Doesn't matter what your father and mother did. Even if they're dead, I'm encouraging you, honor them. Honor them. You know, say, but you don't understand what my dad did to me. No, I probably don't. But learn to forgive him and still think, God, I want to honor him because he was my dad. He was my dad. Amen. Honor your leaders. Honor those God has put in place of leadership in your life. Honor them. I'm encouraging you, honor them. Honor is, you all know this, honor is a vehicle of inheritance. It's a vehicle of inheritance. Next one, remain or abide in the word. Remain in the word. Why do you have to remain and abide in the word? And I'll tell you why. One, because the word builds you up. But when you are saved, your spirit man is saved. But your soul is not saved and your mind is not saved. Your soul is your intellect or your emotions and your will. That still needs to be saved, what the Bible calls sanctified. Your spirit man came alive, but your emotions are learning to follow. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the only thing that helps your emotions follow is the word of God. So Peter writes this in 1 Peter 1, verse, I think it's verse 9. He says, you're receiving the goal of your salvation, the saving of your souls. You're receiving the goal of your salvation, the saving of your souls. That's what Paul writes in Romans 2. In view of God's mercy and great love to you, okay? Do not conform to the world anymore, the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to learn to think the way God wants us to think. You weren't given a new mind when you got saved. You weren't. So your mind still thinks the old way, and you've got to renew it. And the only way you renew it is through the word of God. James 1 verse 21, I think it says, humbly receive the engrafted word that is within you, that can save your souls. So I put it this way. You're saved. You're being saved. And you will be saved. You're being, in other words, your soul and your mind are catching up to your spirit man. And the whole thing in your Christian walk, the bottom line, is learning to live from your spirit man. That's all it is learning to live from this life that is in you. Your spirit man becomes more dominant than your emotions or your mental capacity. Hello? Yeah. But that takes a while. It's a process. Trust me, it's a long process. That's why you need the engrafted word within you. All right. Persist in prayer and embrace and cultivate fellowship. That's what we're doing this weekend. I don't want to say a lot about. And be aggressive towards the enemy. Be aggressive towards. Don't walk right on the cliff face. If you walk right on the cliff face, your foot will slip and you go tumbling down. Don't walk right on the edge of temptation. In other words, don't flirt with temptation. You with me? Be aggressive towards him. He hates you. He doesn't like you. Trust me, he doesn't like you. Be aggressive towards him. Be aggressive towards his lies. Be aggressive towards his actions in your life. Do never be afraid of him. Never be afraid of the powers of darkness. Don't ridicule or mock, but don't be afraid. Amen. You're all very quiet. Are you all right? All right. Okay. Sorry. Okay. All right. So that's how to remain full of the Holy Spirit. And obviously, God, fill me up, fill me up. Then, find the leading of the Holy Spirit. How do I learn to find the leading of the Holy Spirit? Follow the life of God. Wherever you see the life of God, follow that. Where you just sense the life of God in your own life or in a meeting or wherever it is. You just feel, God, you breathe in on this. Learn to follow that. Learn to follow that. Learn to follow the voice of God. Because the voice of God does many things, but three main things the voice of God will do. The voice of God will create, the voice of God will sustain, and the voice of God will release. You'll create fresh hope, fresh vision, fresh faith. The voice of God will sustain what he's created, and the voice of God will release new life. That's what the voice of God does. Amen. I was preaching back in South Africa, I think it was last year, the year before, at Craig's, Michelle's brother's church. And I was preaching on that scripture where the lady's bent over like this. I think it was for 12 years. And Jesus, when he saw, he actually laid his hand on, he cast a demon out of her. And when the demon left her body, she straightened up. So her problem wasn't actually sickness, it was a demonic hold. Very interesting, eh? It's But I was preaching not from that perspective. I was preaching on the fact that God is the lifter of our heads. But the man that was listening to me, there was a man listening to me, he heard about how this lady had been bent over and got straightened up. Anyway, I called people up afterwards who wanted to pray, and a whole number of people came, and we were praying for them, and I was praying for this one, and others were praying, and I was praying. And I came to this man, and as I laid hands on him, the power of God hit him, and he went down on the floor, and he started to shake, and I watched him, and I said, God, is it okay? You good? Because I just got to help him if it's not. And then he would lie there and go, oh, and like this. He'd go, oh, and I thought, my, what is going on here? And if you're not too sure, leave it. Leave it. Don't get involved. God knows what he's doing. You're with me. He was like that for, I don't know, ask me, 25 minutes, 20, 30, 40 minutes. I can't remember. So I carried on praying. And then when I finished, I came back to look for him. He was gone. Because I wanted to find out what was going on. And then in the evening, we had a service. And Craig, the pastor, said, all right, is there any testimonies from the morning? And this guy came forward. And he said, this afternoon, he says, I have a hunchback. This afternoon, I grew 1.5 inches. That's what I straightened me up. That's what God was doing with him on the floor, just straightening his back up. Because he heard the word. He heard the voice of God through the preached word. And that's what he believed God for. Amazing, eh? We didn't even pray for that. But that's where God met him. It's amazing. I was in Alabama, I think about 3 years ago. And we were doing a Saturday afternoon teaching. And a couple came forward and I was praying for them. And I said, by the way, would you like kids? Before you pray for anybody, ask them if they want kids. Okay. And they said, we would love kids, but we can't have kids. We've been trying, but we can't. So I said, oh, well, let's trust God. And we prayed. Then I went on to the next couple and I said, would you like kids? And they said, we would love kids, but we can't have kids. And as they said it, I felt the Lord say, there's a spirit of barrenness over this church. So I said, all right, we're going to deal with the spirit of barrenness. And there were only about 60 people there. If you're a couple here and you've been wanting to have kids, you've been trying, but you're unable to, even medically you're not able to, come to the front. 10 couples came. 10 out of 60 people. So we did a little bit of business with God. I said to them, just deal with, you need to deal with someone with God. We took authority over the spirit of barrenness. We prayed. And I said, all right, faith without action is dead. So you got the night off. You know, and amen, whatever, okay. And a year and a half later, within a year and a half, 9 of them had kids. 9. Amen. Sorry, I didn't hear what he said. He's what is this one? I didn't hear what he said. All right. And then, so find the lead, follow the life, the voice of God, and then find the way of God. Psalm 105, I think it is. Is it 105, 103? 105. It says, Israel knew my deeds, but Moses knew the way of the Lord. There's a difference between his deeds and the way. And the way he does things is different every time. So find the way. Don't get stuck in a rut in the way he does it. You have kids, and we're talking to some parents today. The way you discipline your kids is different. All right, I could just look at Chantel, my oldest daughter, if she had done something, and I'd look at her like this, and she'd go, oh, sorry, dear. I look at my son, he'd look at me back. Jeez, that didn't help. All right, we tried all forms of discipline, didn't help. Eventually, we found one. We said, you're not going to say you're friends for 2 days. Ma, Dad, I'm sorry. You got to find the way. You with me? It's the same with God. Find the way that God wants to do things. Amen. He'll teach you that. All right. So, now we're going to get down to a little bit of business. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 6, there's certain doctrines. The Bible calls them doctrines. The Bible calls them elementary doctrines. Doctrines of faith, doctrines of repentance. There's 6 of them. Maybe you can help me so I can keep you awake. Doctrines of baptism. We did one today. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know what's helped me with? And I love that baptism. Where's that young girl? Where is she? My wife took a photo of you as you came out of the water with you smiling and your dad smiling. And I don't know if you were smiling you more, you or your dad. And it was such a wonderful photo. Eh? Just bless you, young lady, really. And your brother, wherever he is. It is your brother, hey? Yeah, wonderful. You know what's helped me? Because it's doctrine of baptisms. Not one. All right. There's a number of them. Okay. When you get born again, the Bible says the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body. 1 Corinthians 12. He baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. Go read it. The body of Jesus Christ recognizes what has happened and baptizes you into water. And then Jesus himself comes and baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And so there's a working together. Amen. So there's doctrine of baptisms. There's a doctrine of, help me, laying of hands, which I'm going to touch on now, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgments. If I may, Mark, get hold of Derek Prince's book called The Foundational Series and read it. Read it. Read it. It's one of the best books I've read on those doctrines, and you need to know those doctrines. As a Christian, if you've been a Christian more than 6 months, you need to know them. The Foundational Series by Derek Prince. Amen. So you know what the Bible says about this thing. The Bible calls them elementary doctrines. That's what the Bible calls them, actually. It says, let's not go back to these elementary doctrines. Let's move on from them. And one of them is the laying on of hands. Now, in the laying on of hands, there's five things that happen in the New Testament in the laying on of hands. The two that we're not going to do tonight is very simply this. You lay hands on people. I just want to get to my notes. Lay hands on people when you release them and send them. Acts 13. Remember, they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them. So when people are called by the Lord to go somewhere, you lay hands on them to release them, to empower them to go. Okay, you can go read it. You lay hands on people that you're going to ordain into eldership or deacons, because that's what they did. Acts chapter 6, they laid hands on them, and when they ordained elders, they laid hands on them. You with me? Something happens. It's God's way of doing things. But the three that I want to briefly touch on are these three. Okay, and I can just get away those notes, because I just want to make sure that I'm not talking. Is when people got filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, they had hands laid on them most of the time. Okay, except Acts chapter 2. But every other time, they had people come and lay hands on them and say, Lord, fill these people with the Holy Spirit. There's a release of something of the anointing of God that comes. There's also laying hands on for the sick. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And there's also laying hands on to release something of the anointing, a gifting. A gifting. Let's turn to that one. Go to 1 Timothy 4:14, and I'll show you that. Am I going through this too fast? Huh? That's okay, I love it. I love the banter, that's great. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders did what? Laid their hands on you. So Paul is writing to Timothy and said, listen, when we set you in place, we lay hands on with you. God not only set you in place, but release something of the gifting of some anointing in your life. Do not neglect that. Amen. Go to another scripture. 2 Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So sometimes when you lay hands on people, God imparts to them, not your anointing. He's the anointing. I can't give you the anointing. God gives the anointing. Jesus Christ gives the anointing. You with me? But he says, I want to use human vessels to lay hands on you and impart to you something of the gift of some gift of the Holy Spirit or some anointing to do with a certain gifting. He releases it. Something inside you happens. Something inside you is released. Something inside you is empowered. But also when you lay hands on people, sometimes God sets them free from things. They set them free from something that they've struggled with for years, or they've some habitual sin that they're really struggling with. And as you lay hands on, the anointing of God comes and releases them from it. Amen. Sometimes you lay hands on people and God begins to speak prophetically to them. Sometimes you lay hands on people and God just begins to fill them afresh because you've leaked. You leaked. You're not in the state you were a couple of years ago where you felt so full of God you were overflowing. You don't feel so full of God anymore. Not because you're bad or wrong. It's just where you're at. And God says, remain full with me. Remain full of me. You with me? I can give you church history stories of people that laid hands on other people and you see God release them into what they released them into. It's incredible. How many of you know of a man called Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth, do you know that Azusa Street, I'll come back to Smith Wigglesworth. John G. Lake was at Azusa Street for nearly 2.5-3 years. He was in that revival. And you know what John G. Lake, what God did through that man. The people that started, the brothers that started the Assemblies of God, were 14 and 15 year old in that Caesar Street revival. Get a little book, it's about that thick, called us, they told us their stories. It's an incredible book. It will stir you to believe for more. It'll stir you. They were little kids of 5 and 6 and 8 years old running around. They're now a lot older, 50, 60, 70, and somebody interviews them and said, what was it like at Azusa Street? These little kids used to play hide and seek in the glory cloud. The presence of God was so thick in the place sometimes it came in a cloud and they used to duck down and run around and put their head out and duck down. Amazing, man. Eh? They said at Azusa Street there was a fire that sometimes came out from the building, and there's a fire sometimes that came from the top, and the kids used to run outside and watch and watch and watch, and when these two flames touched, they ran inside and everybody was instantly healed. They used to wait at the door, these kids of 5 and 6 and 8 and 10, and wait in the door, and as somebody came in, can we pray for you? I'm trying to stir you for more. That's all I'm trying to do. Smith Wigglesworth was a man that could not read or write most of his life. His life taught him at the age of 48, 49 to start to read or write. And he was a very rough Yorkshireman. Don't do what he did. I mean, he did funny things. I remember he went to South Africa and he used to sometimes hit people. And they said, why you hit me? He said, no, I'm not hitting you. I'm punching the cancer within you or the work of the devil within you. And he went to South Africa and he punched an Afrikaans lady. And if some of you know what Afrikaans ladies are like, they're quite staunch. And so this lady punched him back. And he said, that's okay. He said, you're ill. He couldn't say healed. You're ill. That's fine. I don't mind you punching me long as you're ill. One time they put a little baby that couldn't walk. It was paralyzed on the stage, and he walked up to it and gently pushed it off the stage with his foot. And as the person caught it, instantly healed. Don't do that. He did it. But he was a man that sought God with all his heart. And he wanted more, and he wanted more, and he wanted more. And his wife, Polly, said, why don't you be? They used to work at a mission in Bradford. And they would feed all the poor and all the orphans, and then she would stand up and preach to them. People would come. And one day he said to her, why don't you? And he got up to preach and he stumbled over his words and he got embarrassed and he couldn't finish and he sat down and just carried on serving the people. But he loved God with all his heart. And but he cried out, God, this has to change. This has to change. This has to change. And a man went to Azusa Street and had lands laid on him from England. Body. And he came back. He bumped into Smith Wigglesworth and he said to Smith, it was a lady actually, come here, I want to pray for you. And Smith Wigglesworth went and sat the afternoon with her and she laid hands on this man. And the power of God fell on him. He ran home and he said, he used to call her Polly. He said, Polly, Polly, I'll preach on Sunday. She said, well, we'll see. We'll see. He said, no, God has touched me. Well, she said, we'll see. He got up that Sunday and it was just fluent. That's what the anointing does. Dale Moody in Chicago. It's all the orphans he reached out to. He had two elderly ladies in his church, 84 and 83. Every day, every Sunday, they come and say, "We're praying for you, DL. We're praying for you." I said, "What do you mean you're praying for me?" "No, we're praying for you. We're praying for you." And one day, God met him. He was born again, but God met him in power and filled him with the Spirit. He said, "I didn't change what I preached. I didn't pray, change what I preached. But the results were vastly different because that's the anointing." Amen. The anointing enables us, people. It's not about shaking. You might shake. I don't know. You might not. But it's not about that. It's about enabling God puts inside you for what He's called you to. Enabling. It's very simply put. This is the anointing. I'm talking now. I'm not going to change. Carry on talking, but now the impact, that's what the anointing does. Amen. That's all that it does. Doesn't try and change your personality. God empowers your personality. So don't try and change who you are. He takes you as you are. Are you with me? By nature, I'm a shy and introverted child. Child, old man of 31, I told these young people today. I'm 62. But by nature, left to myself, I'm shy and introverted. I really am. I honestly am. Ask my wife. But somehow, when the anointing comes, that just goes out the window. And the only other time it ever happened in my life was when I used to drink a lot. The shy and introverted just went. I became the life of the party. Everybody used to say, come to our party. We love it when you're there. I said, well, make sure you've got a number of beers before I get there. That's what Paul says. Do not get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. I was at a school in Benoni once, a number of years ago, and I had the opportunity to speak to these young people. And as I was speaking to them, a boldness came on me. And it was quite a full room, but I couldn't see. And there was this beautiful polished table. Beautiful polished table. And I could see it had been specially put there. And nobody was going near it. I just jumped up on it. Because you get boldness. You do things you don't normally do. Amen. Yeah. There was a brothers called Jeffrey Brothers. What were their names? George and Stephen Jeffries, incredible revivalist preachers and evangelists, the incredible evangelists. Do you know that one of those brothers paid for a little young man at a very young age? He had a powerful impact years later. Reinhard Bonnke. That's how he got released into his ministry. Amazing, eh? God can use little old me. It's not about your ability, people. It's about your availability. It really is. And if you say, but God, there's issues in my life, just make yourself available and He'll help you with those things. Don't not allow Him to touch you just because you have some certain issues you're dealing with. And I shouldn't be standing behind this pulpit because my life is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Amen. Are you with me? So what we want to do tonight is we want to lay hands on people. And if you're saying, Lord, I want you to touch me. I want to be filled or refilled or more filled or overfilled or whatever filled you think you will ask or whatever. Lord, I want to be released from certain things. Lord, I want to be empowered. Lord, I want to be available for you, however you choose to use me. However you choose to use me, I want to remain full with you. I know, Christ, that I'm in you. I know, I thank you. I thank you for my salvation. That Jesus, you're in me, the hope of glory. The anticipation, the hope, that means the incredible excitement, anticipation of glory, of the display of His splendor, whatever is going to happen. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Because He's anointed me, what? To preach good news, to release the oppressed, etc., etc. Amen.